Good morning. I'm Lily Horio of Jikoen Honganji. I wish to thank Reverend Ikeda and Moi Lili Honganji for this opportunity to share my thoughts with you. This morning, I would like to share with you what I feel Shin Buddhism is to me. My spiritual journey consists of three parts. Phase one was my early childhood when we were under the guidance of our parents, attending Sunday school, as it was called then, tailing our parents to a weekly service in the evening, chanting the Shoshinge, keeping quiet during a Japanese osekyo or Dharma talk. Phase two was a busy period with college, entering the real world with responsibility of work, family, and raising children. I continued attending services, workshops, seminars as best I could. I tried to understand Shin Buddhism more deeply, but was still unsure of the depth of its meaning. The life and teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha were easier to grasp, understand, and practice. Finally, after raising a family, caring for my ailing parents and my ailing husband, retiring from my job, I finally had more time to pursue and understand what Shin Buddhism was all about. Seeking understanding of your faith is never-ending, and the understanding keeps changing as I listened to speakers, my mentors, and as I attended seminars and workshops. At one point during this period, I was convinced that compassion is what Shin Buddhism is all about. We must live a life of compassion toward others. However, as I continued to listen to my mentors and teachers, I realized that just compassion didn't seem to be enough. How does compassion evolve? How do we become compassionate? Where does a feeling of compassion toward others come from? Then I began to hear gratitude. Speakers and mentors were emphasizing gratitude as a way of life. Compassion comes from living a life of gratitude. When we have a grateful heart for what others have done for us or given us, compassion flows naturally. Yes, Shin Buddhism is synonymous with gratitude. I was content with the interpretation of what Shin Buddhism is all about, that it is a life of gratitude. As I started learning more, listening more, interacting more, and observing more, I began to realize that there must be a step before becoming grateful. Where does this feeling of gratitude come from? I wrestled with this thought for quite a while until I heard one of my mentors talking about awareness. How being aware of others, aware of what is going on around you, aware of how your actions may affect others directly or even indirectly. Yes, awareness is what I was seeking. After much reflection, I realized that we must first of all become aware of Amida's wisdom and compassion, which surround us never-endingly, never leaving us. It was there all the time, but was never acknowledged by me. Once I realized the wonderful warmth surrounding me, that indescribable gratitude overflowed. I became aware of Amida's compassionate light. Oh, how wonderful it is to realize that Amida was always there for me, but I never acknowledged its presence. That feeling of gratitude that I am accepted just as I am, transformed into compassionate actions. Namo Amida Butsu flows naturally because I'm thankful. How can one not be compassionate with such feeling of indescribable joy? Now I can understand the obachans who chanted Namanda with such sincerity and seemed to understand what awareness of Amida's wisdom was all about without attending seminars, reading books, and so forth. They just lived it. Today, in phase three of my spiritual journey, I feel that it is awareness that motivates gratitude. And from gratitude, we can become compassionate. I have noticed, too, that in our day-to-day interaction with others, awareness is the key to a peaceful and smooth relationship. I have observed people who say things or do things without awareness. Awareness of others' feelings, awareness of the situation at hand, awareness of what might happen because of his actions. At one of our cleanup days at temple, I led a fairly new member to a group that was busy at cleaning the paper lanterns after the bondance held the day before. True, they were in the midst of cleaning in a well-organized system, and so having a new person joining would have been disruptive to the rhythm of efficiency that they had already established. I asked if this volunteer could join them. Immediately, a member in her harsh voice said, "Send her upstairs. We don't need any more help. It will be disruptive for us." Wow, what an unaware person. She was right. They didn't need any more help. They were doing fine. She was right, but very unaware of the hurt feelings, unwanted feelings she was imposing to the volunteer. This was totally unaware person, I thought. How can she become compassionate with such disregard of others' feelings? An unaware person would have said, "Thank you for coming. Oh, right now I think they need more help upstairs in the hondo. Can you check with them?" If she had awareness, she would have been grateful that the volunteer had taken the time to offer her help. She could have used a more gentle and kindly voice. The same message, but from two different attitudes, each leading to two different reactions from the receiver of the message. My father, my first mentor, always stressed that communication with others must be done tactfully. We must be aware of the receiver of our message and say it appropriately. Lately, I have been using the city bus as my means of transportation after my car broke down. With so many passengers using the bus, it makes sense for people exiting to use the back door. However, I noticed that 8 out of 10 do not pay attention to the request over the mic that said, "Those exiting the bus, please use the back door." Most of those exiting headed straight to the front door, keeping a line of best passengers waiting to enter. Total unawareness. They were either deaf, non-English speakers, or just didn't care, I decided. Perhaps because the message was a recorded one, people no longer paid any attention to it. As a former teacher, it bothered me that people were so unaware of the request, unaware of the line of passengers waiting to board the bus. There are many instances in our lives when we do things without awareness of others or awareness of consequences. Recently, I had to teach my granddaughter about being aware of the fact that if she dilly-dallies going to the dinner table promptly and eating, it will affect others. Her mom will be delayed in cleaning up. Others may want more servings, but we're waiting for her to take her share, and so forth. Awareness happens in all of our day-to-day activities. And so, in this last phase of my spiritual journey, I have realized that it is awareness that will bring forth gratitude. And with gratitude in our hearts, we can become compassionate toward others. The most important awareness for me is the awareness of the unfailing wisdom and compassion of Amida Buddha that surrounds us. Thank you.